anyway. There they are, yes, sir. I do believe that soon we are going to have to, absolutely have to stop this phenomenon of chemtrails. More and more people are becoming vocal about it, and some politicians now are taking a stand. And I really do believe that this is about to change, and hopefully we're going to have a breakthrough, because this cannot continue this way. It's absolutely unacceptable. So let's a lot of that energy that I spoke about in the beginning of light workers rising into stopping the chemtrails. Now, a lot of people are afraid of being vulnerable, and that's understandable considering that it's, let's say, we're getting to the point where we're looking at the stop of situation as far as any form of alternative media, any stand against any government, any vocalization of disapproval, and you're threatened with every manner of punishment. Calling you to that. I've been calling out to you, saying, stand in your truth, open your mind, speak to others, and make a difference. And we are. I don't mean we, this audience of people who are tuned in. We, the light workers of this planet, are. Never lose sight of the fact that the numbers of light workers on this planet are just becoming exponentially. I have my own personal experience of this, traveling around the world, doing workshops, speaking, and teaching, and seeing just extraordinary numbers of people opening, knowledgeable, prepared, and of course, playing this Starseed heritage. It's a wonderful phenomenon to see, yet we need to be stronger. We need to be more united, stronger, and more vocal. Rallying call to you.
And hello, everybody. That is my new opening for my show, Beyond the Matrix, which was created for me by Philip Thompson. It's called a dubstep, I think. And he sent it to me, and he says something about a form of hip hop from Patricia Corey. Well, it's very powerful. Thank you, Philip, for doing that. And I open the show with that very message. Don't forget, I am calling out to everyone to raise your voice. Voices that are afraid, voices that have gone silent, voices that, somebody wrote to me recently that it was great that I was doing all this big voice stuff, and some people preferred to stay in the background and let me do it and support me. And I was, okay, that doesn't sound quite fair. How about if we all stand in the light and do it together? Because if ever there were a need, now is the time. So I'm calling out to you to stand in the light and speak your truth, as the recording said. And never has there been a time more extraordinary for all of us to step forward in unison and make sure that we walk our talk and that we are light workers for this planet. Well, today my show is without a guest, so I know that some of my regular listeners like Bruce are going to be thrilled because you asked for me to do this, and I here I am. But I warn you, I just get kind of lost talking into the computer without having the feedback of another human being. So I'm asking for you to call in and discuss with me because I'm going to talk about things that boggle my mind. And that will surely be one topic that will surely be a highlight in that conversation will be regarding the Professor Michael King, who I have a real problem with. He's a psychiatrist who has declared that spiritual people are more prone to requiring psychotropic drugs to get over their mental illnesses. I'm going to talk about him quite a lot today. But before I get to things that boggle my mind, it's time for me to share with you some of the events that I've got planned for the year. Many people are asking me to elaborate them, and so I would like to quickly give you a rundown on what I've got coming up. At the moment, I'm busy writing the novel version of the screenplay, the immortal screenplay, which comes and goes, producers come and go, but it is still being, let's say, evaluated by a producer now in whole Hollywood, and I will eventually position it with someone of great ethical fiber who will be have the kashukas to bring the story through as it is. And the story as it is involves subjects that are not comfortable for the powers that be. So you can look forward to that. It's rocking, as I love to do. In the meanwhile, I do have things coming up and planned for the next, well, for the spring solstice. So spring and summer, I'd like to just share those with you. For starters, I will be, for the first time in quite a long while, I will be in North America. I will not be entering the U.S., but I will be in Canada. So for those of you who have been begging me to come out, I'm sorry, I'm not going to the U.S. I don't feel like being there at the moment. And if that changes, I will certainly let everyone know, but I am coming to Canada. I will be in Toronto, and I'm going to be doing some pretty exciting things. May 4th and 5th, I'm offering a two-day workshop that is entitled Ascending the Spiral of Light, the Starseed Reunion. And I'm pulling out all the plugs here. This is, I have been, since I've worked with the council, it's always been DNA activation, the levels 1 and 2, the first triangulation of, the third strand woven into the double helix is the first course. The second triangulation, 4, 5, and 6, is the second. And this is the first time, and that is because the council gave me this timeline of once you've passed through the 21st of December, people will be ready for full 12-stranded activation. So that is my intention for that weekend. It's going to be a very, very, very powerful 2 days of altered states, pineal gland awakening, connecting, introducing you to and connecting to new hyperspace elemental beings. That's a new one. Completely rewriting the cellular memory and using the sacred languages of the cosmos, the sacred fire languages. Some of this may be new to you. Some of it may not be new to you, but doing this together is not only about an individual experience, but a whole new vortex of light opening up in that region of the world. We will also do shamanic astral journeys to the altars of Agartha and beyond. And for the first time, almost ever, I will be doing a live channeling session from the council. I think I've told many people this. I'm not crazy about sitting on a stage and doing channeling because I do not love the theater of that kind of work. And it can be theatrical for me because to achieve that connection, I need to go into a very quiet, deep space and a very private space. So with the help of the starseed around me, I will attempt. I will do that. I will exceptionally channel live from the council. Many of you are waiting for that for quite a while. So that is part of that event this has been promoted as this is Patricia Corey Unleashed. And it is. I'm going to pull out the stops. I have some reservations sometimes when I work with people, very concerned about not creating illusion, very concerned about not stroking the human ego and helping people stay in humility and grounded. And of that overrides all of my work. But this is going to be, let's pull out the plugs. So if you're interested, we are already taking registrations for this event. And I'll get the number in a moment. A week later, if you can imagine this, I'm going to stay in Toronto and maybe jump up to Nova Scotia to be with my beloved humpback whales. I'm going to have to see about that. But I'm staying in Toronto a week between this and a second seminar. And the second seminar is a Tarot intensive for the Syrian starseed Tarot. People are asking, well, what is it about? The Syrian starseed tarot was intended as a tool to open that pineal gland. It's about reading the deck, sure. It's about reading for other people, yes. But most of all, it's about helping you reconnect the pieces of your own starseed journey, a ball of light, a star, a spark of starlight that lands on planet Earth, manifests a physical form, and goes on to live as a being, and that is you. The deck was designed to assist others in rekindling that memory and is very much a part of my work. It looks like a tarot deck, but what it really also is meant to serve is a tool to further activate and awaken those memories, rewriting into the DNA, using sacred imagery, color, vibration to help do that. So this intensive, I mean, it's going to be great fun because I've been teaching the tarot, I think I started teaching the tarot about 20 years ago, back when I had my center in Rome. And I love it. I believe it's one of the greatest tools for that kind of work. And it's fun. I love to teach with laughter and joy and celebration. And this two-week intensive will teach you from even if you've never seen a tarot card in your life, from the major arcana to the minor arcana to the people cards by the end of these 2 days, which will be a brain hemorrhage because it's a lot of information. But by the end of these 2 days, I guarantee you, you will be able to start reading the tarot. And by the way, for people who are in a moment of difficulty financially or lack consciousness, which we don't want, the tarot is a beautiful way to bring income into your life as well. People always turn to tarot readers everywhere in the world. So it's also a nice thing to think about if you'd like to create another source of income for yourself. You will be on your way to reading for others by the end of those 2 days. That's May 11th and 12th. And the person who is handling my programs in Toronto is a dear star sister, Natalia Tatarinova, who has been with me in Egypt and organized an event for me in Kazakhstan. And she will take your calls if you're interested in registering. And thanks to those of you who already registered, some of you are from my Facebook family. I can't believe we're finally going to be together in the flesh. Here's the number to call Natalia, 1 for Canada, 416-315-2347. Let me give it to you again. At 1 for Canada, 416-315-2347. Please call there. We do have a special rate for people who register before, I think, the 15th of February. So now would be a good time to do that if you plan to come. And it also helps us know how much meeting room space we're going to need. So I hope to see you there. It's a long time since I've been in that part of the world, and I look forward to a huge reunion of starseed family there. Okay, I also have an event coming up in my beloved Azores Islands. Something is going tink, 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 tink on my computer. Please ignore it. The Azores Islands, where much of the book Before We Leave You was written, This is Atlantis, as you know. I believe that with every fiber of my being. And I was called to call the priesthood home. That's what I was given when I was directed to organize this event. This is another 12-stranded DNA activation weekend. But it's very special. I'm looking for people who know they were in the Atlantean priesthood to come forward, to bring their crystals, to bring their crystal skulls, to join me in Atlantis, and we will do some pretty amazing work there as ancient sisters of the white sisterhood. So if that speaks to you, if you know that, please come. I'm making this as economical as possible. It's not a full journey. It's a weekend, June 22nd and 23rd, the solstice. We will be working with cetacean energies. We'll be connecting with the whales and dolphins. We will go out into the woods, the forest of the island. Everything is open here because I need to know who I'm working with before I set a definitive plan. One thing I will do here is so that this is affordable for people, I will be available for a week after the journey, the weekend for optional dolphin swims, if that nature and the universe provides that, whale journeys, and other activities that we can create together. Much depends on the water. I had an accident on the water 2 years ago, so I am not able to go out with really rough water. But all of this will be completely flexible, optional, and available to people who want to make this a longer journey and experience. I have a home there now, so I want to be there as much as possible, and I want to share the magic of this place with you. 2 years ago when I brought a group, I actually brought three groups. In the third group, two of the people were experienced divers. And they went out into a part of the water that was, it looks like a sphinx, the rocks that sit there. When you're further away with the boat, you look back and you see the ruins of a gigantic sphinx. And they went down there and had an experience. Both of them had an experience where they saw a spiral stairway going down. They went back the next day with their scuba gear, and it was covered up in moss, and they were exasperated, and they said, we wanted to film it. We came back with the cameras, and I said, you know, you might have been in another dimension when you saw it. So it's a magical place. Put it on your calendar and let me know if you're interested. You'll need to contact me directly for that at patcorey@tiscalynet.it or info@syrianrevelations.net. And my next event, my final event so far, the schedule continues to grow, is my wonderful, I have to say wonderful, magical mystery tour of sacred England and the crop circles. This comes up on July 18th to the 28th. We will be visiting the crop circles at length. We will go to the sacred sites. We have private access to Stonehenge. And this is very important for those of you who are not aware. Stonehenge has become a tourist site now. They've closed off the stones. You have to walk around on this little silly path and you get your little headset and they tell you the story of that. And you walk the path and walk out and buy hot chocolate and go on your way. But I have private access. I do this every year. I'm one of the few people that's able to get that. So we have private access within, right in the center. We are free to do our ceremony in there, and we shall. And then we will end this journey after days in the crop circle, sacred sites, Glastonbury. It's so much fun. This is the land of Avalon, King Arthur, Merlin. And then we will go down to Cornwall, and we will visit Merlin's cave, Tintagel. This is just an extraordinary journey. Lots of things happen. This is where the veils are the thinnest on the planet. And man, considering the energies that we have now and the enormity of the shifts we're all experiencing, at least many of us are, it might very well be an extraordinary extraordinary time in those fields. So if you can make that, you need to start reserving with me very soon. I only have 26 places available, and I'm already down to 19 available. So you can, again, contact me, Pat Gorey, at info@syrianrevelations.net if you'd like to register for that program. Okay, that is the promotion part of the show. Thank you for listening, and let me know again as soon as you can. And now I'm going to take a deep breath, and I'm going to sound off. I know I sound silly, but I'm in a good spirit. Things that boggle my mind. And today I want to talk about the doctor, Michael King, who is a psychiatrist working, teaching at London College University. He came to my attention because there is an article circulating in a lot of the British media, BBC, the Guardian, and others, Daily Mail, which is not my favorite publication. But it is about Dr. Michael King, who is a psychiatrist, and I've learned also a clinical technician running trials under the veil of the university, but I'll get to that. And Dr. King has come out with a very interesting theory that I find very alarming and something that we need to discuss and get out to the public. The article the title of the article is "Spiritual People Are More Likely to Be Mentally Ill, But At Least They Think Life Has More Meaning." And it goes on, not in tongue-in-cheek, but quite seriously, discussing how Dr. King has found through his research that spiritual people were more likely to have anxiety disorder, which, of course, don't you love that term, anxiety disorder? First of all, how can you not have anxiety considering the disorder on our planet? And secondly, what is an anxiety disorder? At any rate, his information is 50% are more likely to have a generalized anxiety disorder, and a whopping 72% are more likely to suffer from a phobia. And you won't believe it, but therefore, something like 40% of us are doomed to be taking psychotropic drugs to solve our problems. Let me get the quote for you, because I would hate to give you the wrong quote. Here it is. Professor Michael King, University College London, and his fellow researchers wrote in the British Journal of Psychiatry. So to those of you who said, that's just the media, this is supposedly written in the Journal of Psychiatry. Quote, "Our main finding is that people who had a spiritual understanding of life," you have to laugh, "had worse mental health than those of an understanding that was neither religious or spiritual." He goes on to say that it's not quite as bad if you're spiritual, but you're religiously spiritual, as it is if you are spiritual without any religious belief system or without any religious faith to follow. But what's alarming about this article or what this information is that he says spirituality is associated with a 40% greater likelihood of receiving treatment with psychotropic drugs. Okay, I bring this to your attention because I believe that the whole point of this is that we're soon going to be in the scope of Big Pharma. And just as they've indoctrinated the children so that we've got 4-year-olds on psychotropic drugs, and you know they'll never get off. Once you start drugging a child at 4 years old because they don't know how to handle their emotions, you think they're going to ever take them off the drugs? Negative. So now it looks like we are the next target. And I think that needs to be discussed. Don't you? In fact, I need to pull up my radio station numbers because I always forget them. And I'm going to invite you to call in. Give me a second here. I'm sure my producer's going to be, when is this girl going to learn the number? All right, jot this down. Here's my radio station number, toll free, US and Canada, 888 627 6008. Again, 888 627 6008. I'll be taking your calls in a minute. Let me first just tell you that I wasn't about to stay quiet for this, and I wrote to the dear doctor, and I'd like you to know what I wrote. Because you remember the show I did, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore? Well, there comes a time when passivity in the name of trusting that the universe is in divine order. And yeah, we get that. I do believe that. I do understand it. I am absolutely one with that awareness. However, there is also a question of being in such passivity that all of this unfolds. We let it happen. We worry about it to a certain extent, but we trust the universe is going to work it out, and we don't speak out. And I am always walking this tightrope between that trust, that knowing, and the commitment, a sense of commitment that we need to speak out and we need to call these people to ethics. So here's how I wrote to Dr. Michael King. Dear doctor, now what happened here? On behalf of numbers of spiritual seekers on this planet who are still remarkably sane enough to manage their lives and emotions without being desensitized and neutered by Big Pharma's sweeping campaign to drug the entire world population into oblivion, I write you regarding your latest pronouncement in our regard, your study of the potential for mental illness amongst people in the spiritual communities. I wondered if your self-serving proclamation, for which you are no doubt amply rewarded in grant money from the pharmaceutical industry you serve, was specifically targeted to people like me who refuse the drugs, people who speak out against people like you who push them, and people who are not afraid of their own expansive potential as feeling, thinking human beings. Undoubtedly, your years of researching into the human psyche has included discoveries, quote unquote, that have led to medicating children for imaginary diseases and new unproven syndromes, as well as testing on animals, the weak, the elderly. I do look forward to exposing the universities funding your research, and I assure you that many of us who still have not become legally insane will surely pursue that in the months ahead. I hope you realize my tongue-in-cheek attitude here. Oh, I see that you are the joint director of the PrimeMed CTU trials, which conducts God knows what kinds of trials on human beings. PrimeMed, and I'm reading here from the information I researched, PrimeMed Clinical Trials Unit is a partnership between the UCL Research Department of Primary Care and Population Health, Mental Health Science Unit, and the Department of Statistical Science. PrimeMed CTU collaborates with internal, read my lips here, people, and external researchers. Gee, I wonder who the external researchers could be, to develop and/or evaluate complex interventions in primary care, psychiatric, and community settings. The unit has a particular focus on mental health and behavioral change interventions, quote unquote. Further, Dr. King, from your own words from the profile you post on internet, I've got the email address on Facebook, I read that you have a particular interest in the design and conduct of cohort studies and randomized trials of complex medical health interventions in primary and secondary care. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that you are conducting random trials involving medications, no doubt funded by the pharmaceutical companies who are just dying to find new markets to drug. You want that to be a target segment you have labeled spiritual people. a growing, powerful community of free-thinking individuals who refused to be numbed into complacency. We get that. It may come as a surprise to you, doctor, good doctor, but not all the people of the world are ready to roll over and play dead. Sincerely, Patricia Corey. All right, that's my response to the doctor. I am calling upon you to join me and write to this man, and I want you to understand that this man is conducting trials under the veil of the university, which is where all the scientists are getting their money from the government, with external intervention, meaning money from big pharma, to push drugs, psychotropic drugs, out into the community. And their new target is spiritual people. So come on, spiritual people. Let's let them know that we're on to the game and that we aren't going to take it. We aren't going to take this sitting down. We are going to expose it and make noise. Make noise about these people. Won't you join me? I'd sure like to know. I'd really like to know. And I'd really like to hear from you, too. So, you know, I always ask you to call in when I'm... when I don't have a guest on, it's very important for me to have you call in and speak your mind with me and spread the word. The nerve of this, it just really gets up my nose, you know? All righty. Okay, hold on. I've got a little signal from the producer. Okay. All right, that's the first thing that boggles my mind. It's not a surprise. My books have talked about that medication of the population for years and years and years. But that I have to read that spiritual people are more mentally unstable than other people. This is really, really pushing my proverbial envelope. And it should push yours, and it should sound an alarm. And with that alarm sounding, there needs to be an outcry, a public outcry, and the question of standing up for who we are, standing up for goodness, standing up for light. So, and standing up for the sovereignty of your own spirit, your own body and mind. I call you to do that. Okay, the next thing that boggles my mind. Have you heard? For those of you who are touting the importance of eliminating your amalgam fillings and all that toxic mercury, I've just come across more information that I consider a bombshell. It appears your dentist could be hiding a fluoride dirty bomb under those beautiful white resin colored composite fillings. Get this. It appears that when the doctors, the dentists started proposing these new fillings, and sorry, I'm all for getting rid of the amalgams, but you will agree that it was a gold mine for the dentists who started ripping out everybody's old fillings and replacing biocompatible tooth filling. I have them, so fool me once, shame on me. It appears that they are using fluoride, putting some sort of a fluoride level, layer of fluoride under this amalgam, this new amalgam, or the biocompatible tooth colored filling is full of fluoride. It seems that they're putting a layer of fluoride underneath it to create some sort of chemical process that supposedly helps it adhere. I don't even know. It's too technical for me. But here's my question. Is this some sort of a campaign to get us filled up with fluoride by any possible means? I don't want to be paranoid. You know, it's in the water, it's in the air, it's in everywhere. It's in the food now, it's in the toothpaste. And now we come to find out that the solution to the lead-based, mercury-based amalgams includes a new product that has fluoride in it. So I'm telling you about this because this boggles my mind. And I would like to alert you to this. Because if you have been to a dentist who has given you this new amalgam, what am I calling it? Biocompatible bonding material. You need to talk to your dentist and say, I would like to know the poop on the fluoride layer underneath this cap. Talk to me. I want to know if you're using fluoride. Apparently, they don't all do that. It's a sort of liner. This fluoride would be released into the pulp, the blood vessels of the tooth pulp, travel into the brain, and bind with the crystals in your pineal gland. Now, you know that I'm all about activating the pineal gland. And for years, I've been screaming about the fact that fluoride concentrates at the pineal gland. It creates a powder. They've actually done biopsies where they've identified this powdery substance in the pineal gland. And I'm sure this is deliberate. I know this is about keeping people out of their power, keeping people from activating the vision, the clarity, and the higher ability to understand through third eye awakening and consciousness. It's been done. It was done to the in Hitler's concentration camps, and it's been done ever since to the human race. So before you go racing out to the dentist, okay, I've got a caller, so I will end with this comment. Before you go racing out to your dentist, please find out about what I'm talking about now. We've got a caller. Let's go ahead and put him through, please, Doug. Who's calling?
Bruce.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Patricia. I wanted to speak to the issue with the psychiatrist and his trials in England on spiritual people being mentally ill. There's kind of a correlate for this. I mean, I'm a psychologist, and back in 2007, there was a Harvard professor of psychiatry, Joseph Biederman, who took at least $1.8 million in under-the-table, unreported money from Big Pharma. And what this guy did was a whole set of trials that actually created the disorder of childhood bipolar disorder, which didn't exist prior to the mid-1990s in the psychiatric nomenclature. Okay. So it sounds like what this guy's doing is kind of like a chip off Biederman's block. I mean, you take money from the drug companies, you target a particular population, create a fictitious disorder. Now, GAD, which is basically generalized anxiety disorder, it's really uncontrollable worry that a person is kind of stuck with 24/7. I would also question this guy's definition of what spiritual is. It's a fairly broad rubric, and I think that by using it, it becomes like a catch-all that people such as yourself or perhaps myself could then be, you know, considered a part of that cohort and therefore druggable. So I definitely think that agenda is there, but I think that it needs to be exposed publicly. I don't think writing to him is going to do much because I don't think he's probably got a conscience at all.
Yes, I'm going to expose it publicly, starting with my social media, my radio show, everybody I can possibly talk to, and asking people to also raise their voice and spread this information because it's very dangerous.
Yeah, it's a typical scam that psychiatry does. They get a show professor who's funded by the drug companies, and they promote drugging a different segment of the population. It's, you know, unspeakably evil.
He is, I'm really glad that it came up because it brought me to research him. And of course, there's all these trials that he's involved in. And I will get to the bottom of it and find out who is funding these trials, if at all possible. And I'm not afraid to speak out, as I think most people know. But it's time for more people to speak out. Otherwise, they're going to find that they're being pulled into the psychiatrist's office and almost forcibly drugged. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, well, in the United States, they do have forcible drugging. It's called Kendra's Law, at least in New York State. Somebody killed a allegedly mentally ill person and killed somebody in the subway about 10 years ago. And now judges are able to order that a person that they have deemed mentally ill can be forced to take, basically shots, biweekly shots at a psychiatrist to keep them under control. So, again, this stuff has already been done, but they're kind of expanding it now. It's what it sounds like.
As a person in this field, what do you recommend to people given this new threat, let's say?
Don't go to psychiatrists.
Right. That's.
I mean, that's what all they do is drug people. I mean, back in the 1970s, there was a biological revolution in psychiatry. Previously, it was dominated by the psychoanalytic theorists. But the biological revolution was just basically a reductionist thing that basically says mental illness is a part of basically brain chemistry run amok, and the only real treatment for it is to drug it. So for the last 40 years, psychiatry has been dominated by that particular paradigm, and, I mean, that's what they do. They drug people, and that's really all they do. Well, they used to lobotomize them and electroshock them and all that. So in one sense, drugging is probably an advancement from that. But their agenda is that of the mainstream medical, you know, community. The AMA is just a totally corrupt trade organization. I would simply suggest that people avoid psychiatrists and avoid seeking medication as a first option for discomfort. You know, even extending to stuff like aspirin. You know, most of the medication is manufactured by, let's just call them the dark forces, for want of a better word, indirectly. And there's always side effects. And I think many times, if not all the time, the side effects are intentional.
Can you hear me speak?
Sure.
Do you think we've reached the point where they're putting other kinds of med in apparently harmless meds?
Wouldn't surprise me. Well, for example, with vaccines, their push to get everybody vaccinated for everything. We know they put stuff like, you know, thimerosal, which is, you know, mercury and other preservatives that are quite toxic. And there's certainly some evidence, at least with, inferentially, with Morgellons, disorder, that it's probably being done at the nanotechnology level. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I wouldn't trust anything in terms of that particular source.
Of the comment or the widespread idea that Morgellons is coming through the chemtrails, which is another thing that bothers me.
Well, the thing is, Joni Mitchell had it, and she did a lot of work with it. She's probably the most prominent person that I'm aware of that had Morgellons. And it may very well be in the chemtrails, but it sounds like there would have to be some sort of point at which the nanotechnology would have access to your bloodstream. And if chemtrails, you know, could do that, that might be a very viable delivery mechanism. But I'm also thinking it's just so easy to put, you know, billions of little nanobots in any vaccine and get them in that way. So, I mean, I'm not sure. I'm just speculating on that as to what the delivery mechanism is. But, again, if you get Morgellons and you go to your doctor, they're going to tell you that you're crazy, that, you know, it doesn't exist. And people have these multicolored wires growing out of their skin, turning them basically into half humans, half machines. And the medical profession says, oh, it's not happening. It's just in your mind.
Bruce, can you hear me speaking?
And that's how they operate.
Hello?
I'm sorry.
You hear
Hello?
Me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Of Joni Mitchell having had Morgellons. I've never heard of anybody having Morgellons. What is your information?
Well, This was from about a year ago. I was just researching Morgellons on my own, and I came across her name, and I believe she had a website with it, and I think it sounds like she was able to get past it. I forget what treatments she used, but they were specified on the website. So I think it's at least manageable for some people.
Is suffering from Morgellons, if you don't know about it, find out about it. Morgellons. If you're suffering from it, one of the first places to go is to NutraSilver, which is a site by a product that is distributed by a man named Russell Altman, who has devoted his life to helping people with Morgellons, and it's doing a lot of good. So there are developments on this Morgellons case, but needless to say, it is very spooky stuff, and people are these fibers that are coming out of people's bodies. We're getting off the track here, but whatever. As Bruce said,
it's all related, though, in terms of the medical profession and just what a horror having to interact with them is.
It's
so anyway.
As you said, avoid psychiatrists. Obviously, I mean the idea that you're not allowed to feel depressed. They want to come up with a treatment now for people who are in grief. You have to be medicated because grief is too powerful to feel. And we all anesthetize society, but for God's sakes, people, many people that I know are medicating. And the question is, when are you going to stop? Don't start medicating if you can avoid it. And then if you're not able to cope with reality without meds, then there needs to be some sort of an intervention in your life to find out. Well, you're the psychologist, Bruce. What do people do when they're not coping with their lives in alternative to meds?
And in clinical psychology, interestingly enough, one of the more recent developments over the last 20 years has been an approach within the context of cognitive behavior therapy, and it's actually mindfulness meditation taken right from Buddhism. And that's actually a very potent intervention for stuff like generalized anxiety disorder that this guy wants to medicate everybody for. So mindfulness meditation is what clinical psychology has come around to as a primary treatment of choice for these types of disorders, this sort of psychological comfort.
Yeah, and we 3 minutes left to talk. I want to tell you so much more about this, but I'm always out of time before I know it. Back years ago, my mom said that her doctor said, they're trying to kill off the old people, honey, and they want to medicate the young. And this was 20 years ago. And I said, what do you mean medicate the young? And she said, my doc, he's retiring because he refuses to be a patsy for the pharmaceutical industry. And my own doctor said the same thing. He said, they don't want us to be doctors anymore. They want us to be prostitutes and drug pushers. And so people, more and more pressure is against us. I'll take out the word on us. We've got Codex Alimentarius trying to destroy our food. We've got them after the alternative supplements. There's a definite war on for your health and your body. And I tell you, and I speak to you from the gut, and that is do everything possible to be sovereign, even without the supplements. Your body knows what to do. Be in nature, breathe the air. I'm thinking of a friend named Elizabeth who is going to be thinking, right, Patricia, the only problem is there is no fresh air anymore. But we've got to move beyond all of the obstruction and the destruction that we see around us and always find the beauty in this life. And that is health creating. Right, Bruce?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, one thing that you can try and do is create a micro environment for yourself. Like where I live, I have a little over an acre, but there's about 85 different trees here. And the air may be horrible around me, but I have clean air.
Wonderful. I do too. I've got a forest in my backyard and an orchard in the front, and all of my trees are biological. And I am really exercising my ability as a gardener to create a solid food source and treating my body with that kind of respect. So I guess I'm almost out of time. Thank you, Bruce, for coming on. You're always such a wonderful support, and I really do appreciate you doing that. And
well, I appreciate all that you do, Patricia.
Thank you
very much for listening to me, and I'll talk to you in the future.
Thank you, Bruce. That was Bruce, and I want to thank Philip for my new cool dupe stop. I don't know what it means, but I know it's cool. That's probably the closest I'll ever get to rapping. I hope you like it. And I, again, please let me know if you're going to come and join me at one of these events so we can start honing in on the numbers and start building the energy of what we're going to create together. And for the rest, here I am. It's another, what is the date? I don't even remember. I'm still on a high from the 21st, which was life-altering for me, and I hope for you too. And remember that it doesn't always manifest immediately like it's supposed to look like. It's never what it's supposed to look like. And with that thought, I want to thank you all for being who you are and for the support you give me and each other and the good work you're doing trying to make a difference in this world. And we will. It's a beautiful world. And despite the hardships that we're in now in the desert days, as we shift into the new, we will never lose sight of that and never underestimate the power of the human spirit. This is Patricia Corey. Thank you for being with me. I'm signing out. Nanu, nanu. I'll catch you in 2 weeks.